Okay, the Divrei Torah tonight are Lili Nishmas, Yitzhak Isaac Ben Menashe Tzvi, and Shomer Zol Ben Aliyah, Michael Ochayo. Particularly in continuation to something that we said earlier this week, but you don't have to have been here to appreciate what we are going to talk about tonight. The Midrashim in this week's Parasha are darshan on the... the pasuk, miksha, asa saminora, right? Miksha teyase, right? Has to be made from a solid piece of gold, right? So the midrashim are, go on a derech of taiching miksha miloshim kasher, difficult, right? That the Torah is alluding to that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty understanding how to construct the menorah. And we have two conflicting midrashim in this week's parsha to explain, how things played out because of his difficulty. Of course, so we have to understand why this was more difficult than all the other Klei HaMishkan that were also equally as intricate, seemingly. So the third midrash in this week's parsha says that Moshe Rabbeinu, was nisyageya harbe, that's the words in the midrash, toiled very much over the how to make the menorah. And he just tried and tried, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, showed him how it should be done. Nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu just couldn't figure it out, just couldn't chop how it is to be done. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs him to throw the chunk of gold into the fire. Right? And, and it will be make the mineral will make itself. Right? So now... The Lashon Chazal actually first says that, he took it out of fire and hit it with a hammer and it just constructed itself on the spot, and it also darshens it from a pasuk to parsha, kaftor prochel, mimena hayu, literally, mimena hayu, it made itself, it made its own kaftorim and prochim. But then the Medrash recaps and says it wasn't even that. Moshe Rabbeinu threw the gold in, and then Davin the Tilly, Barsha, I threw the gold in just wherever you want. And then the menorah just emerged, as it is, fully formed, even without him hitting it with the hammer. And the Medrash mentions these two things right next to each other. And then the Medrash ends off simply with a non sequitur and says, Lefikach, and therefore, right? And therefore, Hashem says, if you're Zohir to light the menorah, right, I'm going to guard your souls from any harm. Because this is called Neros, Balos Neros, and the soul is called Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Right, so there's a lot of it that needs to be understood in this marriage that we just mentioned. Right, first of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything ahead of time. He knew Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get his head around it, so why bother? He says, Harbe Nisyageh Moshe, he tried hard and hard until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, right, forget it, I'll do it. Just throw it in the fire, I'll make it. Did Moshe Rabbeinu hit it with the hammer? Moshe Rabbeinu not hit it with the hammer. And finally, what does that do? Because the menorah had to be made by itself, Aydei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Therefore, if we are Zahir in the Neris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to guard our soul, that's also called a Ner. So now there's another account of this in the seventh Medrash this week's Parsha. Again, coming off the Pasuk Miksha Te'aseh. And it brings another version. Of course, it's another Mandomer, so we're not chayiv to reconcile the two. But let's see what we can do. Right? It says over there, the Rav Levi, the son of Rav, says that, the menorah yordam in Hashemayim, but how so? Right? Again, Moshe Rabbeinu went up he went up in the mountain and the 40 days, 40 nights to get the plans for the Mishkan, as is chronicled in Parshas Truma Tetzaveh, right? And he came down, forgot. He went up again, right? And HaKadosh said, this way it's on. He came down, he forgot. He went up again, third time. And this time HaKadosh even showed it to him and projected an image of fire. Came, says, Reboshim's not going. He said, go to Bezalel. And he'll make it. Go to Bezalel. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Bezalel and described as best as he could, which obviously wasn't enough for Moshe Rabbeinu himself to understand how to do it. Bezalel made it like that. Right? Bezalel just made it. So he says, you must have been Bezalel Kel. You were in the shadow of Hashem when he was explaining it to me. Whatever that means. And the Medrash goes on to say, Lefikach, another non sequitur. Right? And therefore, when by the Chorban Bayis Rishon, right, you know, when Nebuchadnezzar came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't destroy the menorah, he didn't capture the menorah, it was Nignas. And together with the Oron and the Kruvim and Ruach HaKodesh and the Eish, it was Nignas, you know, that Lefikach, and therefore. What's the connection? All right. And there's one more medrash that needs to be understood in this week's parsha that fits into this mix. Rashi brings part of it, that Aaron felt terrible that he didn't participate in the Chanukah Sanasim, not him and not Shevet Levi, right? So Akash Baruch Hu tells Aaron, you know, Moshe tell Aaron, right? You know, what you are getting is bigger. Right, you're getting the menorah because what the Nesiim brought, they brought korbanos. Korbanos, that's only bizman abayis, right? But yours le'olam elmu pnei menorah yairu shivas aneros. Whoever did the mitzvah of hadlokas aneros hamarocha ever since korban abayis. Now what the Nesiim brought, that's korbanos. That's only bizman shabeis hamikdash kayim. Right, but the but you know the menorah is forever. Who did the menorah ever since? Basically, Nechrav, we don't do the mitzvah of Adlokas HaNeros HaMarach, just like we don't do Korbanos. Well, so as we explained earlier this week, you know, the one thing we need to know from what we mentioned earlier this week, we said that the Neros of the menorah represent the Torah Shebaal Peh, right? The Torah that was, you know, that was entrusted to us, I mean, all of Torah belongs to us, the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, but the Torah Shebaal Peh is, you know, more literally in our hands, you know, because it's, first of all, it exists in the, you know, the body of the Jewish people. It doesn't have a book, right? It's not a book, it's in the people, and the people, as you know, they radiate it, as we explained. We shine out the Torah Shebaal Peh because the Torah Shebaal Peh is the way we understand, the way we darshan, the way we paskin, right? So now, with that in mind, you know, this should bother any thinking person. We have, you know, we have two problems that we have with in understanding that we would like to believe the Torah Shebaal Peh, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, the rabbis did not make up the Torah Shebaal Peh, right? Even though the Talmud's full of Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Meir Omer, and they argue, well, this is my opinion, and we have to believe that's all, first of all, Dvar Hashem, one thing we believe. There's another thing, right? We have to somehow believe that this is not just all from Hashem, but also it's from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is, you know, is the conduit, and there's a famous Chazal, right? That I feel Mashet Talmud Vosik Shoel Rabbo, even what the smallest thing, that, you know, that Talmud would ask his Rebbe, that was also Nigla L'Moshe B'Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu knew it all. So, wait a minute, if we knew it all, so why is there so much machloikas? You know, what happened to all that information, right? Seemingly. Right? And, you know, I know I'm getting involved here in a little bit of a machloikas rishon, different deus, right? but for our purposes, these two midrashim are coming to explain the unique dynamic of Torah Shebaal Peh, which actually addresses these two issues. Maybe I should preface that whenever we have this machlokas in Midrashim, where, you know, you'd ask, like, for instance, right, Moshe Rabbeinu, he killed Dimitri. Did he kill him with his bare hands, or there's a medrash that, you know, b'shem horgo, he said a divine name, and that's what sucked the life out of the guy. If you would have been there, what would you have seen? The answer is we're not really concerned with that. Torah is not a history book. The Torah is a book that teaches us, you know, life lessons, eternal lessons, right? You know, it's not here for the raw historical. There's something to be learned from this shita and the medrash l'dorei doros. Something to learn from that shita, that medrash l'dorei doros. And in that manner, it's elu veilu divro kim chayim. Not to say that if you would be there, you'd see both happening. It's Eil Veil Divro Kim Chayim, because there's a eternal moral message equally in either approach, and that's what we're looking for. So I can't tell you if you would actually be at the time where they're building the menorah, whether it would look like, you know, it popped out of the fire, or would look like Bezalel made it, you know, but that's not important either. That's not the point. The question is what the message is. What are we supposed to learn from that? And Chazal are giving us over here two inyonim about how Torah Shebaal Peh works. Right? So first of all, you can understand the difficulty that Moshe Rabbeinu had with the menorah, because the menorah represents, you know, Torah Shebaal Peh that rests within the Jewish people. It is articulated by the Jewish people, right? It comes out through our mouths. You know, we're the ones who, it comes through the filter of our neshama. So now Moshe Rabbeinu is on the giver side of things. Like, he's on Hashem's side. He's Hashem's mouthpiece. Shechina medaberes mitoch grono. He has a hard time understanding that he's the one who brought Torah from Shemaim to Oretz, that now it goes, as we explained earlier in the week, goes in the reverse. You know, b'halos chasneros. Now Torah is going up from earth to heaven, right? That as if man now has become Bilam on the Torah, that he knows, because he got it directly from Hashem, it's all from Hashem. And that's part of the philosophical idea behind the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was niskashe b'menorah, you know, this tremendous phenomenon that we call Torah Shebaal Peh. It's Torah, right? It's Torah. So it's God's will, it's God's word, and it comes out in our words, right? Lefi our seichel, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the one who gets it mipi agvura, right, has a hard time understanding how it comes out through us, lefi our understanding, and it's also called Amita Shel Torah. But yet, because we did all the work, it gets credited to our account. You know, it's not just a credit to account that we get paid for Talmud Torah, but Chazal tells us halachically that a Talmud Chacham shemochal al kvodo, kvodo mochul, and whereas why? You give him covet for the Torah. The Torah is God's. It should have a din like a melech. The melech can't be mochal on his coat because it's not his personal covet. It's the covet of the Am. He can't be mochal on the covet of the Am, right? But that's not the halacha by a Talmud Chacham. Because the Gemara says, in Torah Dilei, who is his Torah? Belongs to him. Shenema ubetorosso. Yehege yomam v'layla. It's an amazing thing, right? It's ours, and yet it's all Dvar Hashem. Beso dvorai asher santi beficha. Amazing thing. So there's two lessons over here, right? So there's the first lesson, right, is Chazal actually dropping a remez in the way they express the Medrash. Harbe nisyagea Moshe. He was yagea, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, just throw it in the fire. What does that sound like? There's a chazal that they're actually alluding to. Yagata umatzasa tamin. Right? Toil, and you're going to find. Right? Zok the chidushe arim. On that Gemara. Right? On that Gemara. You know, that yagia and mitzia are this is an oxymoron. Yagia is something you work for. What's a mitzia? You know, the halachic term mitzia. You say it's every time you get a good deal, but that's not, you know, a mitzia. Ela mitzia shelo, you got it for nothing. You got it b'hesach hadas, right? It's the opposite of yigia. That's something that you work for. So says the Chidush Arim, that's how Torah Shebaal Peh works. You know, we toil at it, and therefore, because you're banging your head against the wall, trying to understand, you know, and to make sense, and to research and to clarify, right? But at the end, it's all a mitzia. At the end, you know, and that aspect is what's being alluded to. Yeah, of course, you know, you work, and you feel like you're mechadashit, but really, it was a mitzia. It's yagata umatzasa. A mitzia is we get out of nowhere for nothing. But HaKadosh was only going to allow you to discover the mitzia if you put in the effort. And that's what HaKadosh was teaching Moshe. Moshe was nisyagia. Okay, now just throw it into the fire and it comes out by itself. And with that, you understand, it's not a stira. He hit it with the hammer. He didn't hit it with the hammer. Hitting with the hammer is just a formality. Yeah, we go through all the formalities of Amelos and we get paid for that. You know, the schar is lefi, the tsar, and the yegia, the Ram brings in Hilchos Talmud Torah, right? But in the end of it, you know, we think we made it. No, it's Dvar Hashem. Really, Hashem made it, but we are put to work to try as if to produce it, and the harder we work, the better mitzia HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow us to find, right? But it's all Him, right? Then there's another thing. There's another aspect of that. How, in what way this is all from Moshe Rabbeinu, Dafil Talmud Vosik. You know, everything was Nizgal to Moshe Rabbeinu. So I ask you, did Moshe Rabbeinu give us all that information? Right? So the Rambam holds not. Because if you would say that he gave us all and we forgot it, so maybe we forgot more than we think. Maybe we're not practicing the original Mosaic faith. So the Rambam, Kaidua, going with Shitas Rambam, what he writes in Hilchos Mamrim, right? Divrei Kabbalah Ein Behem Machloikas. Anything that was had, you know, Bim Mesorah, there's no machlokas, right? There is no machlokas regarding that. There cannot be a machlokas. Aloch Moshe Sinai, you know, all the machlokas is in the chidushim that came up, you know. This guy builds off the precedent this way, and this guy builds off that way, and that's why we have machlokas. Machlokas is in the branches, not in the roots that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. Divrei Kabbalah ein b'em machlokas. And Ram stresses, Chol devar sheyesh bo machlokas biyadua she'eno mimoshe. It's all there in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Mamre. Right, so what does it mean that v'kafil mashitamid vasit shol merabo? So everyone knows, this should remind, this whole thing with Bezalel is a precursor from another famous Gemara that everyone knows, right? Moshe Rabbeinu Rabbi Akiva, right? Moshe Rabbeinu Rabbi Akiva, right? That Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu Rabbi Akiva, and he was sitting at, back of 18 rows, right? And he didn't even understand the shir. It was an amazing shir of how he was being dorish, tili tim alochas and every coats of the coats, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu felt bad, right? He didn't even understand what he was saying, right? Until they said, Rebbe, zu minayin lecha? And he said, halocha l'moshe misinai, and then iskara daito, right? So wait a minute, if it's halocha l'moshe misinai, it must be. Moshe Rabbeinu knew it already. No, it means like this. Rabbi Akiva couldn't be mechadish anything. All that koch hakiddush came from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had shown, projected in front of it. It says, Lashon is nigla l'moshe. He had shown it, right? Doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu necessarily understood it, was able to contain infinite information. Everything was nigla l'moshe because he is the conduit to bring it to earth. Torah didn't come in the mail. The tzinor to bring Torah to earth, comes through Moshe Rabbeinu, whether Moshe Rabbeinu was able to fully contain everything that he was being shown or not. It was nigla l'moshe. Doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu taught it over, right? He wasn't commanded. He only taught over what he was commanded to teach over. It was revealed. But if not for that revelation to Moshe, the people, the later generations, could not be able to be mechadish it, right? And that's why every door calls Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu. And there's a Lashon in Zohar like that, that is Pashtusa, but Moshe B'chol Dora. There's like an extension of Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation, that the Neshama Moshe Rabbeinu is Nislabish. It envelops it, it inhabits in a certain hidden way the Neshama of the Chachmei Ador, because the Koach for later Doras that weren't at Sinai to tap into Torah, B'machash Aliba the Amita Shel Torah, it also comes through Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what it means. You were Betzelkel, you were in the shadow when he was teaching me. Because at the time that he was teaching me, that is a hachana for all the doros. So like you're in the shadow over there, right? So even though it seems, we had no misora on this, we started from scratch with the midrash Torah Shas Rebbe, we're not just perpetuating things that we heard. We're starting and building ourselves. That's all called being in the shadow of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu displayed the whole Torah, just laid it out in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, how much he was commanded. He only taught, and at the time, taught whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to teach over to us, but it was all nigla to him, and we were all the neshamas, were in that shadow, right? And that's what gives us the power, right, to be mechadish in Torah, because it was nisgalot emotion. That's what the message of Rabbi Akiva was saying. Zumi Nile, how did you have this koach to be mechadish? Halacha Moshe, in the sense that it was nigla l'moshe, and through that there is power in all generations, right, to be mechadish. We were like in the shadow when this was being nisgalot emotion. And these are the two lefikachs. The very fact that to the extent that we toil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us, right, allows us to find Torah, right, is because Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, right? I mean, we're called a candle. We're called a candle. There's another thing that we're called, the Neshama. The Neshama is called a candle, like the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the candles of Merucha. It's also called Chelak Eloka Mimal. Now, of course, the term Chelak Eloka Mimal is not to be taken, God forbid, literally. God is one and indivisible. We're ending in a minute, right? But it means that we could connect to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, like a part and whole, connect. This is means devekus. We could connect, right? Because we could connect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, be misyageah, and then you're just going to find, it's going to pop into your head because we're connected. Keep the connection, right? The Torah Shabbat reflects this connection, right? Keep the connection, be Zohar with the Neros, and I will ensure that, it's because you keep the connection to me, you'll be immortal and invincible, nothing bad will happen to you. Keep the connection. Then there's another thing, right? The eternality of the Torah, right? You know, that what it means that when they went and they invaded the Beis HaMikdash, they couldn't find a menorah, it magically disappeared. And that's what it means, the menorah is still being lit, because the menorah represents the Or of Torah Shebaal Peh. You know, this kesher can't be broken, no matter what happens. They destroy all the yeshivas, God forbid, right? If the God forbid, it'll be like decades before new yeshivas arise, the Masorah won't be lost, because we were Betzel Kel. We were in the shadow of Hashem at the time that it was all revealed to Moshe, and mikoch that, we could always regenerate Torah in every matzah. All right. All right.